Which is a more likely reunion, Vinny? Mauricio Pochettino and Tottenham or Vinny Perth and Dundalk?
There was the setup. I see it.
OTB AM. Weekdays from 7:30 AM. Listen on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network with Getset Go. Quickstart car insurance you can sort anytime online, then bounce on with your day. Get a quote today at getsetgo.ie.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
All right, folks, you're welcome along. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday evening. Hope you're keeping well. Tom English is going to join us on Wednesday Night Rugby. He's got a new book out. It covers the 1997 Lions Tour of South Africa. Obvious timing. Some amazing stuff in it on the South African side of things. We often get the Lions perspective for obvious reasons, but South African rugby between 95 and 97 was in turmoil in a way I hadn't fully appreciated. So Tom English on the way at 8 o'clock on that new book. The football show, we'll have David Snaid with us. The Ireland game, obviously, tomorrow. Hard to think of an Ireland game there's been less talk of or less anticipation for than Andorra, 158th in the world against Ireland, 47th in the world. But it's on tomorrow, 5 o'clock. Will you be watching? 5:30, 106. And he's also been looking into the LiveScore Champions League deal. So every game streamed on LiveScore in Ireland for the next 3 years. Plus this hour, John Gonzalez on Kyrie Irving, racist allegations, fan unrest, and the NBA playoffs effectively is what's going on over there. 5:30, 106, the text number, add off the ball on Twitter. Richie McCormick, hello to you.
Hey, Joe.
Will O'Callaghan, hello.
Evening, Richie. Evening, Joe.
It's a ridiculous question I asked. Will you be watching an Ireland game? I presume, Richie, we're still at a point where everyone, myself included, a Republic of Ireland international is absolutely still something I'll sit down and watch when it comes around. Yeah. I mightn't be looking forward to it 3 days out, but I'll be there.
Yeah, sure. Look, I have to watch everything as much as I can here, doing the job I do, kind of providing the bulletins and all that for the jet for the day and the website as well, OTB Sports. But yeah, like, it's hard to get excited about it. Like, this is on a par with those warm up games that we'd heard of prior to, say, Euro 2012, that essentially deprived Damien Duff of his 100th cap because there weren't proper officials assigned for it. Now, this is a fully assigned and fully accredited international and all that kind of thing, but we're far away from the madding crowd of Euro 2020 by heading off to the Principality of Andorra to get a friendly under our belts, which is essentially just really an exercise in getting a win under Stephen Kenny's belt. I don't think we can make any bones about what's actually going on over the course of the next 3-4 days, both in Andorra particularly and then in Hungary on Tuesday. But it is an effort to just get a bit of confidence back flowing through this team, get a win under their belts and move on to the autumn when things really turn up in terms of heat again with a little bit of renewed confidence. Mm.
Will, get a win, no disasters, get out of there and it's quickly forgotten.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially it. It kind of reminds me of the friendly internationals that we played, a couple of them against Oman, which were playing at Craven Cottage roughly this time of year as well. I think we played Nigeria there too. And we've had a couple of these kind of end of the season internationals. Like, remember the USA at home when Declan Rice played and those kind of games, which had absolutely nothing on the line. And you just felt the players were getting ready for the summer because of the fact that there's been no win in the first 11 matches for Stephen Kenny. And the vast majority of this group have been around for those. There is that feeling that at least the monkey has to get off the back tomorrow, beat Andorra. And at least the narrative is no longer about the stretch of games without goals, the stretch of games without a win. Just get through it. And I would imagine the Hungary will probably be a tasty enough game at the weekend too. Probably a step up in standards rather than playing the 156th team in the world in Andorra. And yeah, I think if they don't win, definitely, again, people are going to be out for Stephen Kenny. These fixtures really shouldn't matter. But I was talking to him earlier from the base in Andorra, and he admitted that the pressure is ratcheting up purely because of the fact that they've gone over a year without a win at this stage. But he's confident. You know, there's young players who've come into the squad, but also returning players like John Egan, who for a variety of reasons missed quite a few internationals in recent times. And he's hoping that they can come together, gel after a prolonged period getting ready for this game, and put a few goals past Andorra tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, the reaction if there's a loss or even a draw, God, then it gets very messy indeed, doesn't it? So that's tomorrow. That's 5 o'clock. We'll chat to David Snaid about it later on.
Yeah. A nice little Andorra line that Neil O'Riordan from the Sun pointed out earlier on today. Ildefonso Lima, who's a name that kind of resonates through Irish football because of that goal he scored at Lansdowne Road over 20 years ago. He's still going to be playing tomorrow. Like, this is incredible. He's going to have an international tenure, essentially, according to Neil, that spans four decades. So this is what we're up against tomorrow. The great Ildefons Lima, playing in his fourth decade of international football, is still at the heart of all things Andorra.
The other news today, curious for people's thoughts on it. I don't know what to make of it, really. I don't know if it's good, bad, indifferent. I guess it's good in that Champions League football remains free. So yep. I'm sure you've seen at this stage, LiveScore, the app, has announced a three-year deal running from next season through to 2024. In effect, they will show all 137 matches in the Champions League to Irish apps, phones, devices from group stages through to final. On the Tuesday nights, RTE have retained their rights to the first pick of 16 Tuesday night games. So RTE get first pick on those 16 Tuesday nights. That leaves at the moment Wednesday open. There are 16 Wednesday night matches available. I don't know who's going to swoop in there, I would presume. And I'm not talking with any inside knowledge here, by the way. But I would presume on the outside, Virgin might be eyeing them up, or someone will be eyeing them up anyway. So there's 16 Wednesday night matches available still. BT Sport, if you're a BT Sport person, they still have all their matches. Their deal continues. So the one of the first questions I had was, would you be able to Chromecast this, for instance? So it seems you will be able to live score. I've confirmed that. They will be able to watch matches, obviously, on your phone, on your tablet, but you will be able to Chromecast it. Certain apps you can't. Like, I know if you're streaming the Sky Go app, there's no Chromecast available.
They don't let you because it's a whole, it's a rights thing. But the live score one, they've done it before. I mean, they've had Serie A games previously and most recently on there. They've had Portuguese Primeira Liga games on there too. This isn't their first kind of foot in the water as regards all this. The concern would be, because this is, as all live score apps are, whether it's them or Flash Score or any others, they're essentially bookies windows. Because if you go on to, I was in a conversation with Rory O'Connor earlier on Twitter, because he pointed it out, the frequency at which betting rears its head on these things. And, you know, again, we obviously have a betting partner involved ourselves. But like I clicked on the, for a randomness sake, the first fixture was literally at the top of the list tonight, was Azerbaijan and Belarus. And if you wanted to, there are three different portals, I think, for betting companies on the LiveScore app to click through and bet on this game. And I'd imagine things will be, you know, ratcheted up a little bit more come Champions League time, because they want to obviously capture the market that's suddenly come swooping towards them almost out of nowhere. But that would be the concern, is that these things are so prevalent and to an audience that mightn't be suitable for it, because let's be honest, it is an over-18s pursuit. And you don't want kids essentially tuning in to watch Kylian Mbappe or Erling Haaland or Cristiano Ronaldo and be bombarded with gambling ads.
No, it's true. Though I guess the point is it's everywhere, isn't it? Those, that same audience at the moment are seeing like Ray Winston doing I don't know how many ads during a half time. Yeah, and as you said, look, we have a betting partner in the football show here. It'd be remiss of us not to mention that when we're talking about it. On the not to move away from that, that's definitely a significant concern. If it's like betting non-stop, that's not ideal. On the 306 Serie A games that they've done, that coverage wasn't available in Ireland, was it not? I don't remember ever being able to stream. No, you could have streamed. Okay.
Yeah, they weren't. To be fair, now they would have, say, on your regular 3 o'clock Sunday list of matches, and Serie A is still pretty much adhering to most of the games being on a Sunday. It wasn't your, like, if I'm trying to remember, Will, you can probably correct me here if I'm wrong. It was usually not your top tier games. So you get like a Sassuolo versus Verona or something like that. You wouldn't get necessarily Juventus versus Napoli or Juventus versus Roma if that was being played at the same time.
Non-Premier Sport games were what they had when they took them on originally. Okay. So that was kind of the proper first dip in the water for both LiveScore Bet and Virgin Bet when they came together as LiveScore, when they went to acquire rights. What happened was the Serie A rights kind of drifted a little bit when BT Sport decided to drop it, and Premier took up, I think, part of a package, and the ones that weren't part of the package were then streamed on betting websites and also on the LiveScore app as well. So this summer they've kind of, where they really pushed the boat out, Joe, had a feeling that, I didn't think they'd get a white label product like the Champions League, but once they got substantial rights for the Liga NOS in Portugal for next year, they have 140 games in the year, Eredivisie in Holland as well. They've been moving in this direction really since Virgin Bet got involved with them back in 2017 when they started buying rights about 18 months ago. And like the Champions League then is the big step forward.
Yeah. And do you know from, so they were available here, those ones. Did you ever flick into the coverage? I guess the point I'm getting at, the first two things I wondered were, can I Chromecast this to the TV? Very important. I can. And secondly, what will the coverage be like? Like, you think we've, you know, our generation came through in the 90s when the coverage was just spectacularly awesome, and that's kind of continued in many ways. So my first thought was, I don't really want to be watching Champions League games where there's no good pre-match build-up and where halftime is just the commentary team talking over a few replays and then just ads and then no full-time analysis. Is that what we're getting for Champions League, do we know?
Well, that's what we have had for Serie A and for the Portuguese League. Okay. I would imagine, like, I can't speak, but, you know, with that amount of money pumped into their rights, you presume that they put a lot more bells and whistles around about it, and that they will have, say, a featured game among those plethora that they'll have of a Tuesday or Wednesday night across the two nights in the Champions League. It would be remiss of them not to do something like that. But for the rest of them, it would be a similar offering to what we've seen here before, whereby, you know, your second game in a Group G where you're not really that interested in it would be, you know, streamed on one of the lesser channels, and then, you know, it would be bare bones. But I would say that they'll put a bit of money behind this in the same way that La Liga TV have done that as regards their La Liga coverage with Graham Hunter and Co.
Yeah, they'd have to, really, because it would just be so kind of grim, really, if you're watching a big Champions League game and it was, you know, no halftime analysis. No, like, the punditry is a part of it. For some people, I appreciate, not for everyone. Jeez, Roddy Doyle was on the other night. He's like, couldn't be bothered listening to anyone faffing on about the game. I just love the game. I want to watch the game, so I don't really care about the punditry. But I don't know. I think in Ireland, probably because of that RTE panel in particular, there is a real kind of, not cherished spot, but there is a sense of importance placed on the panel and what they're saying on TV. It'd just be kind of sad to lose all that. Like, you know, Virgin pre-match the other night, it was, you know, it was great watching Tommy and Brian Kerr and Niall Quinn talking about the Man City team, and like, God, what has Pep done here? So that's the kind of other slight concern you'd have. Because I know with certain competitions, there are like production values and standards that are as part of the contract negotiations as the money. You know, X number of cameras covering a game and studio treatment and all of that kind of stuff. Like, other competitions care about that. UEFA, market like Ireland, hard to know if they give a damn.
There was an interesting point raised earlier on to me. I think it was a KC Media who'd been looking after, I'm just trying to find the tweet here, who've been looking after a lot of stuff for KSC Media, who've been looking after stuff for Watch LOI. And they were asking, the interesting part of this whole thing is that if it will be classed as the host broadcaster if Shamrock Rovers make it to the qualifying round of the Champions League, so how would they deal with that aspect? It just means, he says, James looks after this account, they'll have to set up everything for broadcast, something they're not used to, and a cost I would say they won't have budgeted for, like a couple of other broadcasters who've been in the same position. So that's an interesting wrinkle, should Rovers get that far in the competition, that we might have ourselves a bit of a contractual grey area in terms of what's available and what's going to be broadcast. But as you mentioned there, that'll probably be covered by those 16 Wednesday night games that are still up for grabs that are going to be the first picks.
Look, I guess it's good it's free, you know. That was the that's free is free, yeah. It's one of these funny things. Connor's texted in, live score, flash score, they're deadly little apps for highlights. Who knows, maybe they'll surprise us next season. Maybe they will. It's one of these things, like, I have live score. I never had any sense of, like, does everybody have live score? Like, I use live score all the time, but it's not like you're asking everyone in your world, do you have live score? What apps do you have on your phone?
What's your favorite live score app?
I know.
Do you get updated?
And live score is great, and you flick in and it gives you the teams as well and the lineups, and, you know, works really well. Do you, like, you both have live score, I presume, given the world we're working in.
Yeah.
Does everyone have
flash score loyal right here?
Right, okay. Does everyone have live score or flash score? Does everyone, all the listeners, does everyone have live score? Is it like this massively popular app?
There's another couple of ones out there that I'd seen people mention today. So there's definitely three or four in the firmament that people have. Live score and flash score are the two biggest ones. But I'm a flash score loyal. You're nothing without that big chance dot that pops up to let you know that a goal is about to be scored. And not necessarily husband score.
Right. I don't have flash score. Similar vibe to live score.
Yeah, yes, flash score went a bit more legit, Joe, in the last couple of years. There was a period where they were definitely dancing with the idea of using rights they shouldn't be, where they were putting up clips that were uploaded by their team, which were probably filmed, I'd say, from a TV. And they slowly but surely started to take them out. So I wonder if flash score are possibly going to try and get into the same market space as live score are currently, because they started running commentaries, which you had to sign up for on flash score, which I think was their first move towards potentially trying to get rights as well. But look, it's intriguing, lads. You know, once upon a time, it seemed impossible, the idea that we were all out buying televisions and, you know, the consumer experience was that you wanted a cable subscription just to be able to flick a channel, know exactly where the match is on a given night. Generally, we, for a long time, didn't go too far from free to air. And now clearly companies believe that there's going to be a market there for people to just go onto their phone and tablet and watch the game there. I wonder how interested LiveScore will actually be in the casting experience of the TV, because they'll surely want most people to be on their phone where they'll also be going to other apps while they're actually watching the games.
Right. I mean, do you both have Google Chrome? It's Google, isn't it? Do you both have Chromecast? I have Chromecast.
I have a Chromecast, but I don't use it. But I have Apple TV at home, so that kind of doubles as that kind of thing. So if you're looking on the phone or on the laptop, you can kind of bounce it onto that. So it's pretty much the same thing.
Because I guess there will be a cohort out there who won't, and this will all be new, and technology mightn't be their thing. I guess there'll be those teething problems. It's very easy to assume everybody has all this stuff. So,
but like, let's face it, like the majority of these games. Sorry, but the majority of these games are like Krasnodar versus, you know, Ludogorets. So it's not as if it's your regular 2 points down the local kind of audience you're looking for here. There is a specific cohort that they're going after with this coverage.
You're still getting RTE on Tuesday, and I would presume another broadcaster on a Wednesday. So that's TBC the Wednesday, RTE have Tuesday, and then there's BT Sport as well. I don't really think many people have BT Sport still in Ireland. Michael in Kerry says, I only downloaded it today on the back of the Champions League news. I guess that's the point. You're damn right, Michael. That is exactly the point. You and thousands of others. Soccerway, who scored LiveScore in that order for me of usage, says Paul in Cork.
Soccerway's a good man, yeah.
He says Soccerway's way too many ads, but also has better stats.
Great stats, yeah.
Okay. Well, there we are. It's a new era. I mean, we've all polished off our CVs. We're under no illusions.
But this is the way we're going. Everything will be heading in this pick your own poison route, whereby you can pluck whatever game you want from whatever league out of the sky and watch it legally, because they want to do away with the notion of illegal streams, and that in one fell swoop is going to kill that in terms of Champions League coverage in this country.
That's true, actually. Yeah, that's death for the live streams now, Champions League games overnight. Well, just in Ireland, I guess. I must check if LiveScore are dipping their toe in any of the markets.
It's going to happen elsewhere.
Yeah,
I guess we're a test market.
We are such a nice test market. Perfect size. And like UEFA willing to allow the test happen because, you know, a couple of million people not happy in Ireland, not the end of the world. Right, we should kick on with the news round. It is with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette made of what matters. Richie, where are we starting?
We'll start with matters in the Principality, but Stephen Kenny says he's determined to change the narrative around the Republic of Ireland squad this week. They take on Andorra in a friendly tomorrow night, followed by a game away to Hungary on Tuesday. Peterborough's Sam Schmodix has been ruled out of both matches with a shoulder injury. The majority of the squad have been together for nearly a week in Spain, and Kenny told young Will there that this will hopefully work towards their advantage.
Thanks, Kieran. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Tony. How you doing? How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah. I guess before we start, Seamus Coleman, so we know that. Is anybody else injured or unavailable or doubtful?
Yes, Sam Smodix hurt his shoulder, just a previous injury that he had. He just come down awkwardly on his shoulder. So he's it's nothing serious, but it's an injury he had earlier in the season, so that will rule him out.
It sounded to me like it was Tony as opposed to young Willie was talking to there, Rich.
Yeah.
Blame the production team, lads.
Always blame the people behind the glass.
Oh, sorry, was it the wrong clip?
They haven't got microphones.
All right, with absolutely no faith, you can move on to the next clip here. Go.
Okay, yeah, I'm absolutely with no certainty moving on to the next clip. Conor Herrin saying that he wants to have talks at least with Aston Villa after returning from his loan spell at Swansea. Elsewhere in the sunshine today, the Republic of Ireland under-21s were 2-1 winners over the Australian Olympic team. A last-minute goal from Bohemians' Ross Tierney, who was making his debut, gave Jim Crawford's side the victory in Marbella. They'll complete their getaway against Denmark's under-21s come this Saturday. David Nusafora, meanwhile, says it will take years for the IRFU to claw back the losses accrued during the pandemic. The high-performance director says the association is on course to lose €30 million this year. That follows the €35 million lost in 2020. Meanwhile, Nusafora says they wanted Tadhg Furlong to sign a deal longer than a one-year deal.
Tadhg, I suppose, we would have liked to have contracted Tadhg for longer than 1 year. But that was his choice to be able to sit back and say, well, you know, maybe, you know, the landscape will have changed in 12 months it'll be different. And that's his prerogative to do that. We're obviously happy that he's just staying on. And hopefully when we go back to the negotiating table with he and other players, we'll be able to convince them that staying in Ireland is the best thing for their rugby. But that's a choice that they'll all have to make. And You know, all we can do is operate within the financial boundaries and capacity that we have. And I suppose what we've always tried to do in the last 5 or 6 years is to make sure that we've continued to develop players so that we're hopefully not overly dependent on any one particular player, as much as they're all important to us. But I suppose when you go back a few years and you look when Mike Ross was our starting tight head, you know, who would have thought we would have had two tight heads going away on a Lions tour? So, you know, player development is unbelievably important to us and it underpins a lot of what we do. But, you know, we're hopeful. I know the players appreciate what Irish rugby does for them, but at the end of the day, it's a decision, an individual decision that they all have to make as to where they want to play.
Okay, Dave Nusa-Ford there. Full press conference, I'm sure, is available on OTB Sports. The OTB apps is in your app store. You can watch it all there or in any of the social media channels as well. Leon Reid, the Irish sprinter.
He's denied 8 charges linked to drugs and firearms offences in England. The 27-year-old appeared via video link at Bristol Crown Court along with 17 other defendants today. It's alleged that Reid knowingly permitted crack cocaine to be produced at a premises in Bath. Reid's also accused of having a Glock handgun, magazine, silencer and ammunition in his possession at the same address. He spoke only today to confirm his identity and to enter a plea of not guilty.
Few texts in. I'm a Milan supporter in Dublin. Great watching Serie A matches on live score for the last couple of months. And everyone I know has live score, by the way. And then John says, I would complain about having to watch football on my phone, but frankly, I work nights. So if the games are free and available on the dog and bone, I'm happy out. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool, really, I suppose, isn't it? That all these matches are suddenly available on your phone. For no obvious reason, just a bit suspicious of change and what's going on here. But suddenly, you've been told every single Champions League match is available on your phone to stream in high quality. I guess.
It's insanely convenient, Joe.
I'll approach with that with caution, I think.
But what you actually want is what we get of a Tuesday, Wednesday night. Did he still do it this season? BT did the goal show for the group stages especially, whereby James Richardson sat down with who was it, James Horncastle was in there, Julian Loren, Raph Honigstein, one or two others maybe cycling in and out, and they just bounce around the grounds as the goals go in. And you see the footage as opposed to say Soccer Saturday or similar offer, like Final Score, say, where you actually see the goals. That's the ideal for that kind of night, whereby you don't have to flick through 16 matches at one time. You're just seeing what's actually being scored, much like Red Zone with the NFL.
Yeah, and I think increasingly for probably younger people who don't want to sit through 90 minutes of a turgid, you know, group match round two necessarily. Yeah, Soccer Saturday with the footage. The lack of 3 o'clock kickoffs on a Saturday have really killed Soccer Saturday, hasn't it? Like, there's nothing going on at 3 o'clock anymore on a Saturday.
To paraphrase,
the best games are... Yeah, the best games are always now on Saturday lunchtime or Sunday because of the Champions League and Europa League. Like, once upon a time, at least you had one big team playing at 3 o'clock on a Saturday. It's now so rare that you've got any of the top six playing on a Saturday at 3 o'clock at all because of the way the TV rights are split. So, yeah, I think Soccer Saturday has become more of a chat show, and they've gone down the lower leagues as opposed to being Premier League dominated for those of us who do have to sit in front of a TV on a Saturday afternoon. They've definitely shifted the format a bit in recent years.
I think it'll realign a little bit more next season because with fans coming back, like the thing about the coverage over the last 18 months was essentially that they were splitting up the games to show as many as they could possibly could on TV because fans weren't allowed in stadiums. And the Premier League have said that not every game now with fans being back in stadiums is going to be available for TV. And that will see more and more of a drift back to what we had before, which would be what, 5 or 4 3 o'clock kickoffs all at once.
Yeah. There's still no word on when we'll find out where the 16 Wednesday night matches go, by the way. So I guess there's a bit of time to sort that out again. But if you're just tuning in, RTE have the 16 matches first pick, best games on the Tuesday night. Wednesday, there's a vacancy for a similar deal. BT still have all the matches and they'll continue to show all the matches. And then live score will show all 137 matches in the Champions League and you can Chromecast it onto your TV. So... yeah, it's very new, very different. So,
how much have you got in your back pocket, Joe? We can get the other remaining 16 games on the OTB Sports app.
Wow, listen, we should be in for them, shouldn't we?
Let's have a whip round, see what we can pitch towards UEFA over the next couple of days, and see if they'll agree.
I presume you buy them off LiveScore now.
I think they're two different packages.
Are they?
Yeah, okay. The TV package is separate to the online package they've just bought.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah, like there have been a few of these. There was a golf major a couple of years ago that nobody had bought, and what were they called? 11
was
Sports?
Was the PGA Championship not briefly shown on Facebook or Twitter?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm mentioning. Was it 11 Sports? Is that what they were called?
Yeah.
And so they swooped in last minute and they bought the rights to the USPGA, and they did a deal where, like, if you sign up, you get the first week free. So in effect, you could get the major for free, but you had signed up for the first kind of month, and then it's fun and games trying to cancel that subscription. I do remember. But like the quality of the coverage was
appalling.
No disrespect to anyone involved.
Clearly,
it was appalling.
A week before
him. Yeah, it was like, and the guy who presented it is good and does a lot of European tour, but I mean, he was in like a local radio type studio with a kind of plastic sign behind him, kind of nailed against the foam, and it was like one camera that you'd get, like, you know, it was like a webcam, and it was back to him in studio for chats, and just, you know, terrible. So I presume we'll be getting a bit better than that. Let's race through the last couple of stories.
Yeah, Mary Fitzgerald secured Ireland's second medal in as many days at the European Para Athletics Championships. She claimed bronze today in the F40 shot put in Poland. It follows Greta Strzemekita's gold in the 1500 metres T13 last night. Ireland fell agonisingly short in their first one-day international with the Netherlands today. Set a target of 196 in Utrecht, Ireland lost by a single run. They ended their 50 overs on 194 for 9, and the sides will meet again on Friday. Serena Williams in second round action at the French Open this evening, or at least she was. She has beaten her opponent, Mihaela Berzanescu of Romania, in three sets, forced to a deciding set. She'll face Danielle Collins in the next round. Elsewhere, on the Suzanne Longland court, the third seed Arina Sabalenka is up against her fellow Belarusian Sasnovich, and Sabalenka's claimed the first set of that match 7-5 and is leading 4-3 going with serve in the second. Belinda Bencic, the 10th seed, beaten today by the Russian Daria Kazatkina. No such problems for former finalist Victoria Azarenka, who set up a third round contest with Madison Keys by beating Clara Tauson 7-5, 6-4. Men's 5th seed Stefanos Tsitsipas beat Pedro Martinez in straight sets. He'll face John Isner in round 3. 6th seed Alex Zverev, a straight sets winner tonight over the Russian qualifier Roman Sufyan, while former world number 4 Kanish Ikori beat Karen Khachanov in 5. 11th seed Roberto Bautista Agut is out, though, beaten by the Swiss qualifier Henry Laaksonen, who will play Nishikori in round 3. Still to come tonight, Daniil Medvedev, the second seed, goes up against Tommy Paul.
Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, he has decided to pull out of the Pro-Am and cancel his press conference ahead of the Memorial Golf event at Muirfield Village this week. He cited personal reasons for not being able to fulfil his media duties.
Okay, but playing in the tournament, is he?
Still set to play in the tournament. No word on a withdrawal just yet. I'll keep an eye on that one for everybody tonight. And if there is any update, you'll find it on the OTB Sports app.
Okay. Antonio Conte.
Looks like he's back, baby. He's reportedly in talks with Tottenham regarding their managerial vacancy. The Italian left Inter last week, days after guiding them to a first Serie A title in 11 years. Conte led Chelsea to the Premier League title in 2017 in his first season at the Premier League club. Spurs were then a manager following the sacking of Jose Mourinho in April. Conte could arrive as a combo package with the now former chief football officer at Juventus, Fabio Paratici, who's been separately approached by Spurs for a director of football role at the club.
Now, this is interesting. This might give Harry Kane pause for thought. Like, Conte coming in, I presume Daniel Levy is going in with his eyes open here. He is hiring a tough person to manage, but like a serial winner. So that could be very, very interesting.
Potential powder keg, though, as well, given that he's just walked away from the Serie A champions because they want to sell their three best players. Like, if Spurs decide to do what they've done in recent years and, you know, sell players to try and reinvest back into squad, Conte will not be in North London for too long.
No, and like, we haven't got the full story of Mourinho yet. I know that there's so much going on, but I mean, they did sack Mourinho 5 days out from a cup final. Like, that did not end well. Something went badly wrong there, as many people predicted it would. I mean, you would predict the Conte-Levy situation will not be a good relationship, because
I think on the Mourinho front there was a contractual situation whereby if he did win a trophy, then there would have been another clause triggered in his contract, which would essentially have cost Daniel Levy more money than he was probably willing to pay the Portuguese. And I think they did everything they could to, I guess, facilitate, because he was placed on gardening leave, essentially. I think they facilitated his move to Roma subsequently too. So the winning the, as perverse as it sounds, winning the Carabao Cup wouldn't have suited Tottenham's owners as regards Mourinho being shuffled out of the club, because I think they're probably intending to get rid of him in the summer anyway.
Yeah.
But the Conte situation is interesting. I spoke to Martin Lipton about the potential arrival, actually, last week of Conte. And I was asking, would they take the combo package, seeing as Inter are looking to cut the fat at the San Siro this week or this summer? Would Spurs fans take Conte and Romelu Lukaku as a combo package if Harry Kane is heading out the door?
You know, given that Kane looks like he's going to go anyway, it would make it a bit more palatable. I presume their first choice would be keep Kane and get another manager, but it's not a bad consolation. Like, Conte is serious, so that's very interesting. And then it seems Everton are looking at Nuno.
Yeah, he's set to open talks, it seems, at least anyway, with Everton regarding their vacancy. The former Wolves boss, one of the contenders to succeed Carlo Ancelotti at Goodison Park. Conte and former Everton boss David Moyes are other names who have been linked with Everton. And we have to mention Wes as well before we shoot off. Yeah. Wes Hoolahan has signed a new one-year deal with Cambridge United. The 39-year-old helped the U's gain automatic promotion last season to League One. He's back for another year.
Yeah, it's amazing. If you're wondering why we haven't interviewed him, it's because he has no interest in being interviewed. But we love him all the same. We love him all the same. So
that makes him all the better.
Yeah, it does in some ways.
That air of mystery. Yeah.
It's like, Wes, will you come on the show and just talk about how great this is? No. We'll try again.
Joe, I interviewed him 2 years ago today.
Yeah.
And he said at that point there was no way he was going to play football again. And he ended up in Australia, I think, about 3 weeks later.
Right.
So I think he was ready for coaching at that stage. So it's great to see him actually come back. That was literally this day in 2019, and then had his spell, got injured. I thought at that point he was definitely going to retire. I was surprised that he rocked up at Cambridge, but he was just walking around and doing his thing last season. And I think he can still be an important player for them in League One next year. And remarkable, I think this is going to be his 21st year as a senior professional footballer.
Yeah, pretty amazing. All right, fellas, Richie, Will, thanks so much for that.
Cheers, lads.
We have Tom English on the way after 8 o'clock talking about his new book about the Lions 97 tour. Loads of good stuff in that. I know it's kind of a well-excavated, maybe overexposed tour, but there's some good stuff in that book. More on the South African side of things. So that's on the way after 8. We'll have David Snade with us on the football after 9. Coming up next, NBA playoffs are on at the moment and progressing. Few contentious bits and bobs going on. So we'll check in on what's going on over stateside.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
The OTB Podcast Network with Get Set Go. Quick Start Car Insurance you can sort anytime online, then bounce on with your day. Get a quote today at getsetgo.ie.